are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Blended families where step-parents, step-siblings, or co-parenting dynamics come into play are becoming more common but not less complicated. Merging histories and emotions and parenting styles and expectations is no small feat. Whether it's learning to love someone else's child or healing from past hurts or navigating loyalty conflicts, blended families need support, patience, and a whole lot of grace. So we're going to peel back the layers and we're going to talk about how to build a connection where it doesn't necessarily come naturally. And to help us with this conversation, we're joined on the line by Elder Norris Chipato Rola. My pastor, my elder, good morning. Welcome to the program. All right, it looks like we're having some sound issues. Family, if you would like to take part in this conversation, of course, as always, you are invited to do just that by texting us on +27734703520. If you have any experience in the subject, if you are a part of a blended family, if you have experienced this in any way, please make sure that you reach out and share your experience with us. Let's see if we've got the elder on the line now. Can you hear me, elder?
I can hear you, Bongi. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for the invite.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the time that you've chosen to spend with us. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let's have this conversation, my elder. Let's talk about the challenges that blended families are facing, starting with some common emotional challenges that children and parents might face when entering a blended family.
Thank you so much, ma'am, for the platform. So maybe before we look at the challenges, I just want us to quickly have a background of maybe we can call it a definition. Mm-hmm. What exactly is a blended family? And maybe we can have one or two biblical examples of blended families, and then we'll finish off with the challenges. So first of all, when we use the term blended families, we're looking at extended families, a family where we have the parent, now married to a new partner, and then brings along maybe a child, or maybe together this new couple then goes ahead and adopts a child. Or it can even be the parents and the children who then bring together a new parent. So we kind of have a composite arrangement there. So I think maybe back then we used to call it like a step parent. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with with that phrase. Yeah. So these are the kind of family that we're looking at. I think of late these days we're seeing more and more of these families, and you know, even within the, because you know, people in societies, you know, people don't always get along. Families break down, and then you know, we end up meeting new people, and life goes on. And then we're having more and more of these families. There's nothing wrong with these families at all. However, there are just some challenges that we just have to you know, be open about it, just to discuss about, so that at least we can have some form of arrangement and agreement and understanding. Mm-hmm. So that at least we can move the way forward. Mm-hmm. Quickly, in the Bible, we have a few examples, I think, of blended families that we just want to mention. The main one, or the most popular one, being Abraham and Sarah, married, families doing on well. Mm-hmm. And then they bring in Hagar, who quickly have a baby boy, Ishmael, and then they have Isaac. So this is a blended family setup where parents now have extended parents, and then they two children involved. Second family example that we have in the Bible is actually for Jacob. Jacob had his wife Leah, and then ended up having Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah, and amongst these four wives, they had a total of 12 kids. Mm-hmm. That is also a second example of a blended family. Maybe just in passing, the third example would be King David. Mm-hmm. All right, he had a blended family that we all know about, where he had quite a lot of wives. And we can actually indicate and refer to it as a blended family. Going now to the challenges and to the difficulties of a blended family. First of all, we need to agree and understand that it is not easy, especially on the side of children, or especially on the side of family members who will have been brought into this situation without making a choice. By this I mean the dad decides to bring in a new mom, but then as a child, I don't have a say in this whole situation, in this whole arrangement. I'm just, you know, into such an arrangement. So definitely because of that, there are challenges. Number one, the main challenge is that there's a hard time parenting an unfamiliar child or an unfamiliar member. This is somebody that you've not known for 10 years, that you've not known for 12 years, let alone it's even worse when they are teenagers, you know, 16, 17, and then boom, from nowhere, you must be a parent, you must be a mom to that child, or you must be a dad to that child. That will definitely come with its own challenges. Number two, there's definitely going to be some difficulty in accepting this new family member. In as much as we're humans, in as much as we're Christians, that I understand. But because this family member is coming at a time where, you know, our family is spent some time together already, there are definitely bound to be challenges. Mm. Number three, which is a bit funny but true, there are definitely going to be some cultural and religious challenges.
Right.
We grew up as an Adventist family, and then boom, at 16, there's a new family member who has never been to church.
Yeah.
When I face a challenge, I sit down with my wife and we pray. But then this wife that I have is bringing a son who is 16 who does not know how to speak to God, who does not know how to deal with their own emotional challenges, and that on its own will bring challenges on its own.
Yeah.
Next challenge that we are picking up is also a challenge of habits and preferences. As I mentioned, for cultural beliefs, habits are also evil, you know, if they go unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
If I finish eating, I take my plate, something as simple as that. I take my plate, I take it to the sink. And then they, you know, with my new wife, I now have a son who does not know how to do that.
Yeah.
They eat, they live, you know, at the place there.
Yeah.
That one is a challenge. That is also, that we're definitely going to find challenges with. Another difficulty is actually the issue of no communication. Some families are used to an open situation where we talk, where we laugh, where we smile, mm-hmm. we open up. If I'm not sure about anything, we talk. And then, boom, I'm bringing a new wife. Let's look at the parents, for example, who is quiet, who doesn't want to speak, who doesn't want to talk to me, or let alone to my kids that I have in this particular arrangement. This, Moniz, is a challenge. This is actually a challenge that is affecting blended families. Maybe the last difficulty that I will mention for the purpose of this discussion, and this is very common, is the issue of one-sided love. This is actually very, very common. When blended family set up, I had my two sons, and then my wife brings along their own child. You know, in as much as I love my wife, but now I'm having a situation where I'm being made to love this new child that I didn't know. You see, so naturally, there will definitely be kind of a divided attention, you know, that we'll see when we're going to discuss further on how to at least help these families grow.
Mm.
Because I am human, sometimes I'll be forced to look at one side. Instead of buying two tracksuits for the two kids, you end up buying one. Instead of, you know, keeping on mentioning both kids, you're just mentioning one. It is human nature, but it is something that we hope and pray that God willingly we can actually work on it and grow.
Absolutely.
All right, coming to the positive. Yeah, I think we have looked at enough negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the positives. What can we do to help blended families grow and survive? Number one, the main biggest thing that you can do is to acknowledge and agree that there is a challenge. In life, if you don't agree that there's a challenge,
yeah.
In life, if you don't agree there's a problem, then there's always be a problem. So first of all, tell yourself, man, I don't know this child. This child is 16 already. There's different views about life. There's different views about God, about politics, about religion, about crime, you know, for God knows what. This is somebody who is new, who I'm being introduced to now at 16. So I need to acknowledge that I have a challenge.
Mm. Mm.
Second, love across boundaries, love across cultures. I think this will definitely go a long way in solving this problem.
Yeah.
Many times we have a challenge of loving, you know, my own people. But at least if I know that there's a problem, I will tend to love my wife, my new wife for that matter. I also tend to love the kids that are being brought, you know, or that are coming along with my wife as well.
Mm.
All right. Maybe the thing that we can do is to spend more time with the family. If my wife has brought along new kids, then I think it will help to spend more time with those kids.
Okay.
I think that is just fair.
Yeah.
If I spend more time, then I'll get to learn what they like. I'll get to learn of who they are. I'll get to learn their preferences. I'll get to learn the type of person that they are. The more that I go, you know, closer to these kids, the more I'll definitely go closer to my wife as well. Yeah. And that is the best way of bringing this family together. Another thing that you can do is family readjustment. I'll give you an example. Let's say we're living in a house that has, you know, a one bedroom, me and my wife. And then, boom, my wife is bringing along a child or two kids, mm-hmm. you know, from her previous past. But because I love her, I take these kids. So first things first, we have to adjust where we're staying. We look for a bigger space, God willingly providing the resources. And then once we adjust that, you know, our family, at least it will be a little bit easier for us to survive together. Mm. All right. Another thing that we can do to make sure that our blended families survive is to learn to listen and talk less. Okay. I actually think that this cuts across cultures and cuts across most problems that we face in life, Bonnie. We always talk too much and not listen. I'll give an example because we're giving kids as an example. Let's say my daughter is saying, "And daddy, I'm failing to adjust to love my stepbrother." Mm-hmm. Instead of me just shouting and screaming, you know, and now I'm talking like an African dad because that is what we always do.
Right.
Shout and scream, and we don't listen. So instead of shouting and screaming, why don't you slow down and listen to what your daughter is raising or your daughter is saying? Because truly speaking, it is a very valid point. She has never met this child. She has never met these new step siblings. And then all of a sudden, she is being forced, you know, to live together with this new member. So at least when our kids raise issues, let us not be unnecessarily emotional about that, but let us rather listen and make sure that at least we can find each other and find one another.
Wow.
And next thing that you can do, they always say it takes a village to raise a child.
Right.
That statement, we generalize it and we don't understand it. But let me come closer to the church,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that is what I understand more. Our church is one big village. Our church is one big, massive village. If we use it correctly, it will be to our advantage. However, the challenge that we have, you guys know that Chipato is facing a challenge. Chipato is a new wife.
Mm-hmm.
Chipato is bringing a wife that has two kids, but not a single church member lifts their hand up to try and help Chipato in this new setup that he finds himself in.
Okay.
It might be providing an ear to these kids. It might be inviting the kids just for a single sleepover on Sabbath evening for a games night. Or it might be just saying, "Chipato, how are you? Are you okay? How are things at home?"
Yeah.
We don't do that. All we do is we are quick to judge. We are quick to finger point. We eat you when you are still alive. Whenever we want, we gossip. You see, Chipato is failing to take care of his new kids. You see, the wife got kids. That is all we do. We talk and talk and talk.
Yeah.
And that is not good. Now, the more we talk, the more we break. I just want to leave a message to everyone who is listening. Please remember, it takes a whole village to raise a child.
Amen.
Another next thing that I just want to raise while we're still on this one is to always include faith and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm undertaking a new whole journey, Abongi, of this wife that I so love,
mm-hmm.
but this wife is bringing kids, it will be a total failure if I don't include God. Remember that verse that says that for all those who build, and if they build without God, they'll also be building in vain.
Mm.
I so wish and pray that as parents, I so wish and pray that as kids ourselves, we can always and we must always involve God in whatever we do. Because if we do that, all the challenges that we face, or most of the challenges that we face, are actually going to be a thing of the past. The problem is we just go in, you know, without connecting to God, and that is always a challenge.
Mm.
Maybe the last thing, the benefits is actually, I mean, on what you can do to help blended families is actually to learn to love each other.
Mm.
I know that I love my wife. That is the person who has brought me here, fair and fine. But my wife is bringing her own people, a mother, a father, a grandparents, but most importantly, my wife is bringing her kids. So for this particular arrangement to work, I must make sure that my wife's happiness, you know, comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And the main way to get my wife to be happy is to make sure that her children are taken care of.
Mm.
So this issue of blended families, in conclusion, Bongi, is not going to be a thing of the past as such in the society. It's not going to be a thing of the past in our church. It is actually continuing to be part of us because we are facing different life situations.
Yeah.
All right? It's actually going to be good. There's nothing wrong in being part of a blended family or in putting together a blended family. However, please just take note of the above challenges that we have discussed and make sure that everything is taken care of, especially for the sake of the kids. I just want to end by giving a personal testimony from my own life.
Okay.
I grew up in a family that was headed by a single mom. My mom really tried to make sure that we get the best, you know, education, kind of get the best life according to their own standards by that time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was kind of older, and then we kind of found ourselves in a blended family situation, you know, because my mom was trying to survive, we're also trying to survive. So some of the experiences that I faced, you know, in as much as there was nothing wrong with this particular blended family setup, however, most of them could have been avoided by simply implementing the above points that we've discussed there. Being open to each other, listening to the child, praying together, spending more time. Guys, you have brought me into this situation as a child. I love you, mommy, but then now you're forcing me to love this new man. I know that, mommy, for you to be happy, I have to love this new man. I can do that for you, mommy, but you must just understand me. So kids are seen as baggage at the end of the day. Our decisions don't really matter, and that on its own is a big challenge.
Yeah. Joe, that's beautiful. That's quite eye-opening. But also, we have a question coming through here, and it kind of ties into the other question I wanted to talk about, which is about loyalty conflicts. How loyalty conflicts show up and how they should be handled. Someone sent through a message, and family who's tuning in right now, if you'd like to also contribute or ask any questions, please feel free to do that. +27 7347 035 20. So the question says, having grown up in one, please ask, in the case where the children that grew up with the family tend not to acknowledge the parents or even not recognize them as their guardians when they grow up, are the parents entitled to feel bad or hurt, or what can parents do in such a situation? So I suppose this person is talking about the step-parent. If the step-parent is not recognized when the child grows up, the child feels more loyal to their biological parent. How does the step-parent feel in such a situation, and what is the best way to move forward?
Unfortunately, Bongi, that is a painful truth that we have to live with. Mm. Many times when a new parent is introduced into our families, theoretically on paper, we expect that everything will just become a hand in glove, like glue, and then seamlessly move along. Not quite. Life does not really move like that. We have challenges where our kids, they might love the new parents at a young age, but when they become kids, when they become adults, they say, man, this is not me.
Yeah.
I have my own parent, as much as you guys were divorced, but my dad will still remain my dad, or my mom will still remain my mom.
Yeah.
And as much as my mom is in the Eastern Cape in Matsulu, or is in the Northern Cape, whatever my mom can be, that is still my parent. Mm. So this new makeshift arrangement does not really hold water to some. Mm. So unfortunately, there's not really anything that can be done on the side of parents besides the above point that we have discussed. All we have to do is to pray for our kids and hope that we don't face such a similar situation in life.
Yeah, because the person goes on to say, I feel that we have not really mentored each other on the part of how to honor those that once kept us in the absence of our biological parents. So how can we be helped when we grow up? Do we just forget that someone played a role in our lives, or maybe there's a way we can still acknowledge them even while we're also trying to build or maintain a relationship with the biological parent? Is there a way to be, I don't know, do the children feel like they have to choose one or the other? Is there a way that they can acknowledge both the parent, the real, the biological parent and the step parent? Is there a way to do both?
When I got married in 2013, something very funny happened. Mm. And when we watch the wedding video.
Uh-huh.
Because remember, what happens is, first of all, it is the pastors and the two elders who walked in.
Sure.
And then it was my wife's parents who walked in first.
Uh-huh.
And then when my dad was walking in, my dad walked in with two wives. people did not really pick it up.
Okay.
My dad walked in with my mom, and then my dad walked in with his new wife.
Okay.
He was holding two wives' hands. So people did not really understand what was happening. Some just thought maybe it was just family that was super excited. But here's the thinking behind it. My mom, because she's my mom, all right, I love her so much, I would give the whole world, you know, to cry for her.
Yes.
She definitely had to walk in there. My dad, because he's my dad, all right, he definitely had to walk in there.
Yeah.
In as much as he was an Advent father, but that is a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
However, because I love to see my dad happy, I had to make sure that he brings his wife, all right, to make sure that I did it for him.
Yeah.
And I'm also in good books with his wife. When I look at him, he's not a stepmom, he's my mom. I mean, when I look at him, he's not my stepmom, he's my mom. I mean, she's my mom, and I respect her for that. So, unfortunately, there's not really much done, you know, from the parent side. Sometimes you can see parents, they pay for university fees for kids. Sometimes you see parents, they go all the way out to try and take care of the children. And as soon as the kids grow up, all they want is nothing to do with these parents. It is life. There's nothing that can be done, unfortunately, yeah.
Sure. That must be painful. That really must be challenging. I remember very recently I saw a story similar to that, and I think I shared it a little while ago, where a man talks about how he raised this child since he met the child's mother when the child was about 4 months old. So he says, since the child was 4 months old, I've been the father. And I have raised this child, I've taken care of her. And then at her graduation, she only had she had 8 tickets only, so she could only invite 8 people for her graduation. She invited her brother, obviously, she invited her aunties, she invited her biological father, who had not been a part of her life. She invited everyone, including her boyfriend, except him. The stepfather was not invited, and he was crushed. And it was an interesting debate to see on social media. So it was quite, it's clearly something that happens out there. And it seems like there's nothing that can be done about it, but it just feels so unfair. It feels painful. It feels, you know, I can't imagine what that must be like or what might be going through that child's mind as she's drawing up that guest list and intentionally pulling out the man who raised her since she was 4 months old.
I think, only just sorry to cut you short there, just to, you know, all things being equal, it would be ideal, you know, for the dad to be invited. I think, and now I'm talking to the children now. Now that kids, you're all grown up, now that you are leaving university, the best way and only gift that you can give to this now old man who has really taken care of you is to at least give him his place that he, you know, that he deserves.
Yeah.
I know it's not your blood. I know we might be even talking about the mom herself. She might not even be your true biological mom.
Mm-hmm.
But if she was there for you, if he was there for you when you were sick, if he was there for you when you didn't have money for school fees, when they were sharing your pain, when they were sharing, you know, your challenges on this educational journey, on this life journey, as a Christian, as a Christian in the last days, I would suggest and advise, you know, let us not hold unnecessary animosity. If the dead deserves to be invited for the sake of peace, for the sake of that dead, let's go ahead and do that. Let's just not create unnecessarily.
Very true. All right. Well, thank you, my elder. Any final thought that you'd like to share with regards to, you know, the navigating the blended family dynamics? What are the final words that you'd like to share with someone who might be going through some challenges that you've brought up, who might not be sure how to balance? Maybe the parents are rivals, the step parent and the biological parent are not getting along, and it just becomes complicated. Any advice that you'd share just as we say goodbye?
As a final thought, remember when we're mentioning blended families, there's one aspect that we might not have ties, which is the issue of co-parenting.
Yes.
There's always bound to be challenges, you know, with co-parenting. Some parents just want to, you know, be dramatic.
Yes.
If we are going to be changing our children, you know, on Fridays and then bring the child back on Sunday, if that is your arrangement, you know, it might be a court order, it might just be a physical, cultural arrangement. Please, as parents, This is not for you. This is for the kids. Don't come to the child's kid. I mean, to the child's school, and you are, you know, the police are being called. You are being dramatic and making a scene. this has nothing to do with you. We are doing this for Ingane. We are doing this for kids. Do not act up. We are just doing kids. And to people who might be in this particular situation, as a parting shot, I just want to say life is life, man. There are challenges left, right, and center. All we have to do is to lean on Christ. All we have to do is just to make sure that as Christians, we live to our very best, and God will do the rest. May God bless you guys. May God bless you, Bonnie, and thank you so much for the invite.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder, for coming through. It's been a blessing. And our listener says she has learned something from you. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on the subjects. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. God bless you. Happy Sabbath.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.